A lot of us, when we first hear the teachings on karma, think about the bad things we did in the past, which is one of the reasons why karma is a very unpopular teaching. Things that were past, we hope to leave past, but karma says, oh, they may still have their effects. Of course, karma doesn't mean just bad karma, it means good karma. And in fact, the Buddha, when he introduces karma, he introduces it in a very positive way. Connecting with generosity and gratitude, both of which are really good parts of human life. And the Buddha says generosity has meaning because our actions have meaning. They have meaning in the sense that we choose to do things. That means that people have meaning too. And we give meaning to other people, we give meaning to ourselves. That it's worthwhile helping someone else, either materially or in terms of our knowledge, in terms of our time. If we didn't have freedom of choice, all of this would be meaningless. We'd be just material robots, pre-programmed, with no choices at all. In which case, generosity would be meaningless, and so would gratitude. We have gratitude to people for things they've done for us, realizing that they could have not done those things, but they chose to do them. And they have to go out of their way many times to be helpful. It starts with your parents, goes to your teachers, other benefactors. And the fact that they had freedom of choice means that we should be grateful for what they've done. And as the Buddha said, gratitude is a sign of a good person. If you're not grateful for the help you've been given in the past, it's very unlikely that you're really going to be generous and helpful to other people. So the teachings on karma are very closely related to these two very positive parts of human life. It's true that they do have meaning. Gratitude is appropriate, generosity is appropriate and meaningful. And as for things done in the past, the Buddha says you don't have to suffer from things done in the past. After all, this is a teaching on how to put an end to suffering. And there's no caveat saying, well, it's only undeserved suffering that you're going to be getting out of. Even deserved suffering is something you don't have to experience. Putting deserved in quotes there. He talks about how your state of mind right now is what really matters. This is one of the reasons why we meditate, to develop a good state of mind so that when the results of past bad karma come, they don't have to make an impact on the mind. The Buddha talks about the qualities you want to develop: virtue, discernment, an ability not to be overcome by pleasure, not to be overcome by pain. And having what he says, an unlimited mind, which means developing the four Brahma Viharas. Now, all of these abilities are things that we have to fabricate in the present moment. The word fabrication, sankhara, doesn't mean we just make them up out of nothing. We have to take the potentials that come from the past and turn them into actualities. But it turns out that our present karma is what really makes all the difference. When the Buddha describes dependent core arising, our experience of present karma actually comes first. And then we experience the raw material, and out of that we make something out of it. This is one of the reasons why we meditate. We're training the mind to fabricate its experience right now in a skillful way. The Buddha talks about three kinds of fabrication, and they're all very directly related to what we're doing right now. As he said, if you do these things in ignorance, it's going to lead to suffering. But if you do it with knowledge, it turns everything around. These three kinds of fabrication actually become part of the path. And they're the skills you need to master. So when bad things come in from the past, you don't have to suffer from them. The first fabrication is bodily. It means your breath. breath coming in and out right now, because it's through the breath that you experience the body and that you move the body and do things with the body. It's your first sense of the solidity of the body. It has to come through the breath. Your sense of the coolness and warmth in the body have to come through the breath. So the breath is the mediator, both for how you experience the body and how you use it. So bring some knowledge to this process. When you're breathing in, breathing out, how does it feel? It stands to reason that this is the force of life, and so if it feels bad, something's wrong. You want to breathe in a way that feels good so you can be here solidly, so you can create good karma in the present moment steadily. If the mind isn't steady, it's like someone doing work in a, trying to write, say, as you're riding along in a bouncy car. The writing is going to be all over the place. If you're going to write something neatly, you want to have a still place where you can sit down and write. It's the same with the mind. If you're going to create anything good in the present moment, it has to come from a sense of stability and stillness. So you use the breath to help create that sense. And then you engage in verbal fabrication, which is the second kind of fabrication, which is direct to thought and evaluation, vitakka, vichara in Pali. Direct to thought means choosing a topic. Vichara means commenting on it, either making comments or asking questions. It's the way we think, the way we talk to ourselves. You focus on a topic and then you make comments about it. So here with the breath, that's the topic. And we're commenting on the breath. So we're putting bodily fabrication and verbal fabrication together. We do this by evaluating how the breath feels, and if it doesn't feel good, asking ourselves how to change it. If it does feel good, how do you maintain that sense of feeling good? And how do you keep watch over it? That voice in the back of your mind that's telling you what to do as you meditate. You want to make sure it's well trained, so it knows what to do. Part of this comes from hearing Dharma talks or from reading books, and part of it comes from your own experience. Because you have to keep on top of the breath. You can't just say, okay, this is a comfortable breath, and I'm just going to let it go on automatic pilot. As with a car, you put it on automatic pilot, sometimes you ram into somebody else if you're not careful. So you have to make adjustments. Something may feel good for a while, and then it's not so good. It doesn't feel quite as refreshing, quite as light or energizing or whatever quality you want to feel in the body right now. So try to be on top of it. The commentary, even though it's very subtle and very minimal, you have to keep it going to get the mind to settle down. When it's really solid, you can put the direct thought and evaluation aside. But they're always there, available, if you begin to notice something's not quite right. Then there's a third kind of fabrication, verbal. These are feelings and perceptions. Feelings here are not emotions. Means feeling tones of pleasure, pain, neither pleasure nor pain. Perceptions are the labels you put on things, the images you have in your mind. And again, these are directly related to the breath. You have an image of the breath, what's happening. And then you notice there's certain feelings that come out of that. And if your image of the breath is restrictive, or if the breathing is becoming labored because of the image, will change the image. Think of the breath being able to penetrate everything, coming in from all directions through all the pores, going deep, deep into the body. Or you can think of the breath energy surrounding the body with a kind of cocoon. There are lots of different images you can hold in mind. And so you're engaged with all these forms of fabrication right here. And as you're doing them with knowledge, it turns them from a cause of suffering into the path to the end of suffering. That's quite a shift. And the more knowledge you can bring, the better they are, the more effective they are. And as you get more hands-on experience with these aspects of fabrication and thinking of them in these terms, bodily, verbal, mental, then you can apply that same insight to other things as well. for example, in developing the unlimited states of mind. Those require the three kinds of fabrication too. You want the breath to be calm, and then you direct your thoughts to all beings, and you comment on how you would like to see them be happy. Which means that if they're doing unskillful things right now, you're asking, your wish is that, is there some way that they can stop doing those unskillful things? Now you may not be able to think of that, but at least holding that idea in mind is really helpful, because that helps you engage with all kinds of people. People are skillful, people are unskillful. You can still have goodwill for them and not be a hypocrite. And then when you're developing goodwill, it requires mental fabrication as well. You want a feeling of well-being in yourself so you can dedicate it to others. It's very hard when you're not feeling well-being to think of other people's well-being. And you want to hold that perception in mind of all beings and their happiness and what might be involved in their finding happiness. In line, of course, with the principle of karma, they're going to have to act on the causes for happiness to be happy. So if there's any way that you can help them to be skillful, okay, you're happy to do it. In other words, you don't hold grudges and you don't decide, well, someone did something really awful, and I'd like to see them suffer first. You've got to put that thought aside because it doesn't help anybody. This falls back, of course, into the direct of thought and evaluation. So to develop those unlimited states of mind, which make it easier for the mind to deal with unpleasant things as they come up from your past karma, requires these three forms of fabrication too. You find that they apply to all areas of life. As you go through the day, you want to maintain your equilibrium. Okay, stay with the breath. Have a sense of how the breath energy is in the body. So that when anger comes up or fear comes up, they don't hijack your breath. And from your breath, hijack your ways of talking to yourself and or perceiving things. That perception may come in, but don't let the unskillful perceptions lay claim to all the forms of fabrication going on. At the very least, have the breath calm. And that enables you to think more calmly and to be able to choose your perceptions with more awareness. So the fact that our experience of past karma is filtered through our present karma is really important. And learning the skills of present karma through the three forms of fabrication helps you realize how the Buddha could find a path to the end of suffering and talk about karma but not have karma get in the way. In other words, saying that you have to suffer this or suffer that before your awakening. That's not part of the equation at all. You learn these skills, and whatever the suffering is, it's something that can be overcome. And even though there may be bad things coming in from the past, you still don't have to suffer from them, because it's your present karma that determines these things. And that's something that you can master. That's a skill that you can work on. And turn these fabrications from a cause of suffering into the path. That, as John Lee said, is a sign of a wise person. You take what you've got, good or bad, and you learn how to make good use of it. That's how we progress in the world. That's how we progress in life.